All right, well, good morning, Big Apple Church. It is so good to see you this morning. It's great to be here. I have to just say, as I begin, how much I was longing to be in this building so I could look at this backdrop over here. I watched a video with John last week, and I was like, can we just go out there and do the service? I mean, that would be amazing. But it is so great to be here with you this morning. I bring you very warm greetings from the Hudson Valley region of the New York City Church. Great group of disciples up there. I have the privilege, as John mentioned, of leading the region there with my wife, Katie, who got John gave a great intro for Katie. But I did also want to mention that she was recently inducted into the Duke Athletic Hall of Fame. So just one more notch on the belt. So I just lots to brag about her about. So I have to, you know, do it when I get the opportunity. But I did bring my whole crew down here this morning. So we have, see if I can get this right. So Evelyn Ford, I mean the laser, not the kids. Sometimes that happens too, though. But Evelyn is 4, Vivian is 2, and then Lillian is 1. And so we try to practice mindfulness and presence quite a bit at home, but you can imagine the challenge there. And then, of course, over here, this is Katie and myself in Washington, D.C. This is when I was announcing my 2020 bid for the presidency. Just kidding. Not my thing. But in any case, it's great to be here with you this morning. So as I begin, I'd like to take us into and engage you in a brief meditation. So I want you to just find a comfortable position in your seat. I'll say a little bit more about some steps to meditate, but I just want to get us in the spirit and the mind of meditation this morning. So go ahead and find that comfortable position. You can close your eyes if that helps you to focus, whatever helps you to get into the presence of God. I'm going to read a passage, Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, that'll help you focus on God and shalom. You, God, will keep in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself is the rock eternal. Okay, you can open your eyes. We'll get back into that later in the sermon. And I just want to say, I love this journey that John is taking you on with the theme of peace of mind. Right? As Christians, as disciples, we see peace of mind, peace all over the scriptures. And I think sometimes we can ask ourselves, why is it that we as Christians who are supposed to experience this peace have such a difficult time with it? The Bible says peace, perfect peace right here in the passage that I just read and we meditated on, but I feel inner turmoil. Why is that? Did I miss something? Am I doing something wrong? These are questions that I've asked myself, and I just want to say, if that's where you are today, you're not alone. You're not alone in that feeling and in that journey. We live in a world and in a time that is constant distraction and stimuli, and you know, even just coming into the city today with our 3 girls as they looked up at Times Square. It was the first time they've been in Times Square. And they were just blown away, and I'm blown away every time I come into the city. I live up in the woods. I don't know how you do it down here. So I give you a lot of credit for finding peace of mind in the city. And what I want to talk about today is just a continuation of what John talked about last week as far as how do we find that peace of mind? How do we fight for that peace of mind? How do we engage God and find presence with Him in our modern world? You know, Jesus was and is a being who is present. Right? He was present in His earthly body. He was present with people. He was engaging with people. And he's present here now. I think oftentimes we come to a church service and we forget that God, Christ himself, is here with us. Amen. And so today, I want to focus our minds on presence, okay, which is the title of my message today, presence. And this isn't present right now as I advance the slides. But we're going to look at a passage in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, because as Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome, he's got some interesting insight in here as far as what it means to be present and to renew our minds, to have a mind shift and a mind change. And so I want to dig into this, and then we'll look at a few other passages that have that same idea in mind. So Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, Paul in here urges the church in Rome with God's incredible mercy in mind, his unbelievable, amazing mercy for us, to offer their bodies to God. And he says that this offering of their bodies is true and proper worship. And oftentimes we think that worship is just what we do right here, right now. But what Paul is saying to the church in Rome, he says, no, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, who you are back to God, is our true and proper worship. See, this is how the disciples in Rome, and for us, it's how we're to be present with God. This is offering our bodies back to him as he is present with us. And Paul then gets into, this is how it's done. This is how you make that happen. And he talks about two spiritual movements in life. Two movements in the spiritual domain. The first movement is disengagement. Now, Paul says you have to disconnect from some things. Right. Right? You have to look at the world, recognize the patterns in the world's way of doing things, and disconnect from that. And he uses strong language there, right? He says, do not conform to that. Do not be a chameleon. Amen. And just blend in to the ways of the world. So that's the first spiritual movement in this idea of worship and presence with God, is to disengage. And then the second spiritual movement is to renew the mind. But another way to say that is to renovate the mind. The word for renew can be translated that way. And I like that because that's what we need as disciples. Complete mind renovation. Complete mind change. And what does that lead to? Paul says, transformation. Transformation of who you are. And so, but what is he, can we just take that a step further? I mean, what is he really talking about? And this is where I'll speak specifically about presence and engagement. You know, Paul is saying, take your attention, which is what we all have control over. It's a core aspect of our mind. Take your attention off the world and the worldly ways of doing things and shift it over to godly ways of doing things, to the Spirit of God, the ways in which the Spirit is moving into the kingdom and the domain and realm of God. You see, that's the main movement in the spiritual life. And it's essential if we're going to be changed and transformed. It's essential if we're going to be present with God and in true life. Present in true, authentic life. And then Paul goes on to say the outcome of this reconfiguring of the mind and transformation that comes along with it is knowing the will of God.
Wow.
Paul says, as the mind is renovated, knowledge of the will of God becomes clear and moves into focus. See, a person can become present with the will of God and dwell within his presence by making that mind change, shifting their attention. Amen. And just imagine for a moment the shalom and peace that flows from this way of being. That's powerful. And in our modern world, we can very easily miss it. You know, mind renewal is so elusive, right? It's like we think it's over here, and then, oh no, it's over here. And where? How can I get some more of that mind renewal? Why is that? Why is it so elusive? It's because I believe at the core, our attention has been trained to be all over the place. It's drawn to here. It's drawn to there. It's over here. So where is it? It's trained to be that way, and often without our understanding or knowledge. You know, on Wednesday this week, I woke up feeling this way. I don't always wake up feeling this way, but Wednesday was, for whatever reason, it was one of those days. So follow my train of thought if you can. Okay, so I wake up. I got to get out of bed. Are the kids up? Let me squeeze in my quiet time. Everybody's awake. Let me get breakfast together. Don't forget to finalize the sermon this morning. Oh, and midweek is tonight. Got to get that done. How's Katie doing? Got to get that run. And I wonder if the Yankees won. Of course they won. I think our leaders meeting went well last night. I wonder if the appraisal on my house went through. I hope the inspection for my dad's house is okay. Let me check the stats for my smartwatch on my smartphone. Oh, wait. And what about the weather? Did I get any emails last night? Look at that squirrel. It's huge. But I did get out of bed to see the squirrel. The squirrel wasn't in the room, just to clarify. But you see, that's just a symptom of what the real problem is. See, my mind was doing that because I haven't disciplined it and trained it to be focused on where it needs to be, on the realm of God. And so we've got to get the control of our attention and our mind back to where it needs to be. And I think the first thing that we need to do is recognize that this is a pattern of the world. Right? Our modern day world has a pattern of being distracted, of not focusing and training our attention. And it's not okay. It hurts us in terms of our health, but also kills us spiritually. Amen. So let's heed the words of Paul, right? Do not conform to the pattern of the world. Recognize it as a pattern and don't conform to it. We've got to fight against that current if we're going to flourish spiritually. Well, the thing that gets me, and I fall into this too, is that we invite distraction into our lives. It's almost like we beg for distraction, right? Look at this quote. By Gene Arp. It says Hans Arp up there, but Gene Arp. Oh, there we go. Soon silence will have passed into legend. Man has turned his back on silence. Day after day, he invents machines and devices that increase noise and distract humanity from the essence of life. Contemplation, meditation. Right? I think that's so true. Invents machines and devices. We beg for distraction.
Right.
Right? We're looking for it. And one of the things that I think just amazes me so much about this quote is that Gene Arp said this as late as 1950. Wow. It's very prophetic in what he was thinking and seeing and understanding. It's just a human condition. Would you think how true that is today? Right? But we also have to ask the question, okay, we're distracted, we invite it, but why? Why have we invited distraction into our lives? I believe at the core of that is in the stillness and the silent moments and the places of solitude, we are confronted with the realities of ourselves. And it can be a painful experience. So we crave distraction. We work ourselves to death, literally sometimes, so we don't have to deal with the pain and discomfort of old wounds, hurts, losses, past experiences, not realizing that those silent moments are actually the portal through which we grow. And Blaise Pascal, mathematician and theologian, had this to say about that idea. All men's miseries derive from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone. I'm not even going to comment on that, right? You know, it just, we have to see the realities, what's really going on, and call it for what it is, and just decide that we're not going to conform. We're not going to go that route. And so, as I mentioned before, and as John mentioned last week, there is a way out. How do we renew the mind, regain control of our attention, find presence, experience shalom, well-being, peace, and be transformed into the likeness of Christ? But the way out is you've got to train for it. You've got to discipline your mind. You've got to take your mind back into your control. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an ultra marathon runner. It just is true, right? If you're going to experience presence, you've got to train for it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, right? Paul encourages Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Don't be concerned with all these godless myths and these old wives' tales, these things that have nothing to do with the spiritual life. Do not conform to that. Do not pay attention to that. Rather, train yourself to be godly. And that training element is about training the mind. And William James, considered the father of modern psychology, had a really key insight into this whole training thing and this idea of training the mind. He said, the faculty of voluntarily bringing a wandering attention over and over again is the very root of judgment, character, and will. An education which should improve this faculty would be the education par excellence. So he understood, he saw that in order to discipline the mind, to train the mind, it's a process of bringing the attention back to focus over and over again. That's the training piece. What he didn't see, though, was that, as he's saying here, an education in this way would be amazing, that would be excellent. But there is a way to train the mind. There is an education in that, where we can go from this to this. Amen. Mindful to mindful. Amen. And the essence of mindfulness, the essence of that training, is presence. It's what it brings to us in our lives. There's a lot of talk about mindfulness in our modern world, and we have to ask ourselves, what is mindfulness? What does that mean? And here's a good definition, I believe. Lots of different definitions out there, but I like this definition. It's the self-regulation of attention so that it is maintained on immediate experience, thus allowing for increased recognition of mental events in the present moment. Now, that's a lot of words in there, different terminology in there. But basically what he's saying is that you're just training the attention to be fixed on the present moment. And again, it takes a training element to it. Well, the mental practice of training the attention has been practiced for Christians for centuries. And that discipline was given to them by the Jews. The Jews had practiced it way before Christianity even came to be. And we see Isaac going out into the fields to meditate in Genesis. So, the training piece, the training of attention, the transformation of the mind is meditation. That's the education par excellence. And we see this in Psalm 1, which is a picture, an image of Christ. I just want to read it to you this morning, so just try to visualize it as I read it. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so that image is describing a state of being, a way of being, that you cannot get to unless you train yourself to be there. And I love that passage and how it connects with what Paul was encouraging the church in Rome: do not conform to the patterns of this world, so disconnect, disengage, but connect to God. Right. And that's what Psalm 1 is telling us, right? Fortunate, blessed, or happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Has nothing to do with that way of life, but connects with God. That's their delight. And they meditate on it and dwell on it. They fix their attention and their hearts on that day and night. Again, imagine that shalom and the peace that flows from that way of being. I want to just talk a little bit about the science behind meditation. I'd love to spend more time on that, but because there's a lot to say about it. But I just wanted to speak a little bit on that and why meditation really makes good sense from a scientific standpoint and of course, a spiritual standpoint as well. So what meditation does neurologically is it helps to create a more integrated brain. It's a brain where the different systems of the brain, they're doing their part, but they also come together and work in a very harmonious way. And an integrated brain is actually a healthy brain. When scientists look at the brain, a brain that is working together and integrated, they see that it's very consistent with well-being and health. And specifically, so I'll give you just a glimpse into some of the science. This is work done by Tang, Posner, and colleagues. They have this series of studies that they came out with that explored, okay, what does meditation training do or attention training do to the brain? So simply put, basically, as I mentioned before, it creates an integrated brain. So you have this region of the brain right here called the anterior cingulate cortex. And that's an integrative part of the brain where it connects the frontal region of the brain, prefrontal cortex involved with decision making, higher order thinking skills, judgment, planning and goal setting, with the limbic region of the brain, which deals with emotions. It's where we process things like fear and anxiety. We see depression experience there as well. And so what they noticed was that this region of the brain right here, the ACC, after just a few weeks of meditation training, there was more white matter growing in this region of the brain. And white matter is a way to measure how integrated the brain is. So these systems of the brain were working together, the emotional center and this higher order thinking center of the brain. So the brains of people that were meditating were becoming more integrated. So what were they able to do? They were able to process emotions more effectively. They were able to make decisions based on those emotions and also regulate those emotions. That's the sign of a healthy brain. So we even see from, again, a scientific or a creation standpoint, that it makes good sense to meditate. From a psychosocial standpoint, it helps us remain calm, reduce stress, and engage with others, amen, right, in a healthy way so we can give them what they desire most, right, attention and presence. So I want to conclude and wrap things up by engaging you in a simple meditation practice. Right? We've talked about what does it do spiritually, how do we make that happen. We've talked about things a little bit scientifically. But I want to spend some time talking on the practical side. So how do we do this? What's something that I can do in my own time? So, I'll give you a few steps here. First step is to, as I said in the beginning, find a comfortable position in your seat so you can, even if you know if you have your Bible out, you can put that away. Don't often say that in church, but you can put that away. Cell phones, anything like that, whatever may be distracting you, you can put that to the side. You know, posture is an incredibly important aspect of worship, but especially as we meditate. And we want to be in a posture that helps us to invite the presence of God into our lives. So a comfortable position in your chair. Some people like to use their palms up as if they're receiving the Spirit. Some people bow as in expressing humility towards God. Whatever works for you. Find a comfortable position in your seat. You can close your eyes or use a soft gaze forward, whatever helps you to focus. And I want you to begin to focus on your breath. Notice the sensations of the breath as you bring it in through your nostrils. You start to fill up your lungs. Deep breath in, and then breath out. Notice the sensations of the breath as you breathe out, as you push the breath out through your nostrils, leaving your lungs, leaving your body, and fix your attention there. You'll notice that as your mind wanders, because it will, the best thing you can do is just notice a distraction. Just take note of it. Okay, my mind went over here. I'm just going to notice that and gently bring your mind back to the breath. And as you begin meditating and practicing this, you're going to notice that your mind will do that a lot, but it's the noting the distraction and the bringing it back to your breath, that is the training element, right? Over and over, practicing this in your silence. Breath in, breath out. The frame of mind to keep as you're doing this is just to relax and enjoy the process. Have compassion on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Just because your mind wanders, that's what it does. Just take note of it and bring it back to the breath. As you gain better mastery over your attention by training in this way, you can then move on to bringing passages before your mind, fixing your attention upon the Word of God, which brings your being and your presence into the realm of the ever-present God. So as you're focusing on your breath, I'm going to slowly and meditatively read Psalm 23. So I want you to bring the images in the psalm into your attention as I read them. Visualize yourself with the Father as I read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. He leads me beside the waters of rest. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So at this time, we're going to transition right into the prayer for communion. I ask that you stay in this meditative place, dwelling on the presence of God, keeping your attention there, and I'll pray for communion. Thank you, Father, for being present with us. Thank you that through the breaking of Jesus' body and the shedding of his blood, that we can truly be present with you now and into eternity. Enable us to commune deeply with you at this time, and that we would go out from here and be present with you each moment of our lives. We thank you and love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.